Show me the money!
Enjoy it while it lasts. Gambling gods, fickle bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So easily offended.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks starts now.
It is time for Weekend Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports and UpTalk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Don't forget, you got men's USA basketball against France coming your way at 10:30, about an hour and a half. That line right now, France getting 13. Not going to lie. Listen, I'm all for United States, but this France team, there's something to be concerned about. They already beat the United States once, and they took Luka in Slovenia to the wire, won 90-89 to advance this gold medal round. So I am on France getting 12. But without further ado, Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. It is football season. Therefore, you can see him all over ESPN and all the platforms. Mike T, what's up, man? Friday night, how you doing?
Good evening, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. Played golf this morning, hosting radio at night. Life is great. But we text each other just a second ago. I was letting you know that we just gone to break, and you said that you're with one of my biggest fans. So I'm curious, who is this fan?
Yeah. He's a prominent orthopedic surgeon here in Basking Ridge, New Jersey, and we played golf today at Fiddler's Elbow, and he's a big fan of you and your work.
You played at Fiddler's Elbow? You didn't even call me, Mike?
He'll host you anytime, so we'll have to get that done. I'll connect you, and I'm sure he'd be happy to host you at Fiddler's.
I played Fox Hollow the other day, and I drove right by Fiddler's. I would love that. I would keep me in mind next time you play Fiddler's Elbow. I don't know what's happened this year. I'm playing really well, Mike. My drives, I'm driving the ball consistently, 210, 230, right in the middle of the fairway. My irons have been solid. If I could just learn to freaking putt, I'd actually be able to sit and shooting like high 70s consistently. I'm about, you know, anywhere between 82, 84. So I'm having a really good season. And you and I talk about golf all the time. I would love to play with you as well, my friend. So please keep me in mind.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's dive into it. And no news bigger than the fact that the Bills, 6-year, $258 million to Josh Allen. Your thoughts on this deal? Did it have to be done, and do you like it?
I do, and talking to some people today that were familiar with what happened, it's a good compromise. It's a little bit of a shorter than Patrick Mahomes' extension. It came in at about $43 million per year, over $150 in guarantees. So it's a really strong deal for Josh Allen, and if you're a Buffalo, Anita, like, this is a deal you had to get done. He's a young, emerging star in the league, and they hit on a draft choice, and this is a deal that makes a ton of sense for both sides. I think over time, Buffalo's going to have to make determinations on who they're going to be able to keep, but they've done a good job of fortifying the line, adding some weapons like Stephon Diggs. So I think it's a deal that makes sense for both sides.
I love Buffalo. I've said this. I think it's going to be the Buffalo and the Rams in the Super Bowl this season. I think they win the AFC East, but you know, you can't count out the Patriots, and you know, I was all over Mac Jones. I still am saying, I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback coming out this year. I won't be shocked if he beats out Cam Newton for the starting job in New England. I love this young man, and everything I'm hearing out of camp is that he really has been really, really uber impressive. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Are you sold on the Bills winning the division? If not, is it the Patriots or the Dolphins for you?
Yeah, I think it's Buffalo until they're going to be beat, you know, just because they have Josh Allen, this great offense that I think, candidly, we should only get better, you know, another year in the system together. And in terms of New England, I think Cam Newton may wind up starting early. I think Mac Jones is someone that will obviously have that job long term. That's why they drafted him in the first round. But I think in the AFC East, Anita, I still like Buffalo. Now, they have to improve their pass rush. They took Greg Rousseau in the first round from University of Miami. He's somebody that's had 1 year of production. He's going to be a guy that they're going to need to play and play well, because someone like Jerry Hughes, another one of their edge pass rushers, is certainly close to the end. So that would be an area, if I was a Bills fan, that I'd be concerned about.
Let's jump to the NFC East, because the Giants are in it. Guys are dropping like flies, retiring because they don't want to play for the Giants. And Joe Judge, that's a whole nother story. I'll shelf that for a second. But I love Washington. And now there's reports. James Washington, receiver from Pittsburgh, wants out. Washington is talking to Pittsburgh. They might add James Washington to that wide receiving core, which they already have. Curtis Samuel, De'Ami Brown apparently has been sensational at camp. Washington, to me, their defense, I think you can argue top three, possibly when it's all said and done, might be the best defense in the NFL this season. I love Washington winning the NFC East. Who do you like coming out of this division?
If healthy, I like Dallas, you know, with Dak Prescott. Taking nothing away from Washington's defense, I just feel like over a 17-game season, either I trust Dak Prescott a lot more. I think Dallas's defense will be improved under Dan Quinn. I do think Washington's a good team. I think their weapons are a little bit underrated. I think McClellan has a chance to be a one. Antonio Gibson's very explosive out of the backfield. But at the end of the day, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has had moments and flashes in our league. But I just think Dallas has a chance because of the strength of Dak Prescott.
But yet, dealing with an elbow shoulder situation right now, and of course, coming off of a compound ankle injury, will be really interesting to see what happens there. Let's go back to the AFC and in the AFC North specifically. I love what Cleveland did in the offseason. But, you know, I see this coming down to Cleveland or the Baltimore Ravens winning this division. I also like what Baltimore's. I like the addition of Sammy Watkins. He can stay healthy, drafting Bateman, helping Lamar Jackson in that passing attack. Who do you see coming out of this division, Mike?
Yeah, I like what Baltimore did drafting Oweh as well from Penn State in the first round. So I think it's those two teams are clearly, in my mind, ahead of the other two. And it should be a very competitive division between Baltimore and Cleveland. You know, I think if OBJ could stay healthy, that adds an explosive element to the Brown offense. And I think when you look at KOR from Owusu Koramoah from Notre Dame that Cleveland took in the second round, he's another really interesting player because I think they can move him around and he can walk out and cover players in the slot man-to-man. So when you look at some of their young defensive players, go back to players like Myles Garrett that they obviously just extended, Denzel Ward, I really like the Browns defense. So if Baker Mayfield can stay healthy, be more productive, OBJ, I think it's going to be a two-team race.
In the AFC South, unfortunate, very, very unfortunate state of affairs in regard to what happened with obviously Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson as well. But I've been making some phone calls, Mike, and there's actually quite a few scouts who tell me that Eason is not a bad quarterback. Got a big arm, can make all the throws, very smart. Just fell to the fourth because I guess he left Georgia, and maybe I want to say I saw a report like has only thrown like 738 passes in his college career. Are we sleeping on Eason? Like, you know, have the Colts not had a knee-jerk reaction to go out and bring in a Mariota or Trubisky or another quarterback because they believe in Eason as much as I'm hearing scouts around the NFL believe in him?
Yeah, look, you know, Eason's a guy, like you said, he transferred from Georgia. I mean, they had some unusual situations there where Fromm won the job and even Justin Fields had a transfer out of Georgia. And look, if Carson Wentz misses 3 to 4 games, yeah, I think you could hold a fort with Eason and run the ball with Jonathan Taylor. Like, they're a very talented team, obviously, but I don't think they could beat Tennessee over the course of a season if Carson Wentz misses a lot of time.
Mike, always great to hear your voice. Love this time of year. You know that. And please know how much I appreciate you joining me on a Friday night. And next time you play, well, next time you play Fiddler's Elbow, yeah, you've got the digits, baby. Call.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you got it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Man, Fiddler's Elbow. All right, when we come back, I'm going to dive into some of the futures bets. Some of just discussed with Mike some of the biggest storylines in around the NFL. Now, let's do a deeper dive. Let's talk about some of the futures bets that are out there. Maybe there's a futures bet out there that you like. Maybe there's a team in a certain division that you like, you think is going to win the division. Maybe you think there's a certain team that's going to make it to the Super Bowl as well. Anita Marks with you. It is Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. A little bit earlier than normal. Filled in for the Chris Carlin show, which typically goes to 10 o'clock. So we made Week in Wager 9 to 10. And then Ty Butler follows me coming your way in about 45 minutes. John Mascari is going to join me around 9:30. We will hopefully have some golf picks and winners for you as we head into Saturday and Sunday and what's going on with the WGC FedEx St. Jude tournament. Also, to bring you up to speed on what's going on in Major League Baseball, unfortunately, the Mets down to the Phillies. Phillies are up, I should say, to the Mets 2-1. And it is the bottom of the sixth, end of the sixth for the Yankees and the Mariners, and Seattle up on the Yankees 1-0. That's where that stands. 800-919-3776, the phone number you want to get on board. Now is the time to do so. We're talking all things NFL futures after our discussion with Mike Tannenbaum. And so we kicked it off with the Buffalo Bills. They just ante up, boy. They give Josh Allen, I love Josh Allen, by the way, they give him a ton of money, and deservingly so. But looking at this division, the Buffalo Bills, minus 150. Some people might feel that that's a little bit too much juice for them to lay. I say no way. This Buffalo Bills team, and Mike touched on it just a second ago, they check all the boxes, right? Offensive line stacked. Depth at the running back position with Zach Moss and Singletary. Wide receivers are solid, and they just added Emmanuel Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders is one of the most underestimated wide receivers in the NFL. I love the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. And you know what you get with Josh Allen. Again, they just paid him the world. On the defensive side of the ball, I think you can argue the Bills top seven, top five defense in the NFL. And I love what they did in the draft, by the way. They drafted Greg Russo and also one of my favorite defensive linemen coming out of Wake Forest in that it was Boogie Basham. Can't wait to see him play. So I love what the Buffalo Bills did. Minus 150, again, might be a little bit too much juice for some people. And I get you. I feel you. You know, I typically like to wager money on plus money. That's what I like to do. You get the Dolphins at plus 350 as well as the Patriots. And then the Jets are 25-1. But again, Jets fans, with all due respect, we're not expecting the Jets to win this division this year. This is going to be a growth and a learning year for Zach Wilson. So that's why, hint, 25-1. But don't sleep on the Patriots. And again, Mike Tannenbaum, I would not be shocked if Mac Jones wins the starting job over Cam Newton. That's how great I hear Mac Jones is performing at camp. However, as Mike said, he expects Cam Newton to start, but at some point in time, Mac Jones to take over the starting job. Whichever way, at some point in time, Mac Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots, whether it's week one or week six, whatever the case may be. He fits the system better. He is all that plus a bag of chips. It's ridiculous that he fell to the Patriots. It's so ridiculously dumb. I can't believe it. I think the Jets missed out. I think the 49ers missed out. And who knows, maybe in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see that, who knows, maybe he'll be better than Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. But right now, I do believe that he's the second best quarterback that came out of this draft. So if you want to put some coin on the Patriots, it's plus 350. But again, I do believe the Bills win. If minus 150, which means if you're tuning in, maybe you're not a huge gambler, it means you got to lay $150 down to win $100, that the Bills are going to win the division. And I'm all over that. Let's take a look at what's going on in the NFC East. And so let's call up those odds. The Dallas Cowboys are favored at plus 130, which is a little, I will say, shocking to me. And even though Mike Tannenbaum said that he's in on Dallas, he feels the defense is going to be better with Dan Quinn, and he doesn't sound like he's so concerned with Dak Prescott and his elbow injury. Keep in mind, the big injury of concern is that ankle, considering it was a compound fracture last year. And will he be the same quarterback and the same, you know, have the same ability to be as mobile as he was? Only time will tell. But I'm all over Washington, and you get Washington at plus 230 to win the division. I love their defense. I love what they did in free agency, in as well as the draft. I love their offense, drafting De'Ami Brown, as well as bringing in Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson. You know, Mike Tannenbaum referred to Ryan Fitzpatrick, no bells and whistles. But what I do like about Ryan Fitzpatrick is there's two kinds of quarterbacks in the NFL. There's quarterbacks who throw to wide receivers that are open, and there's quarterbacks who throw to wide receivers who aren't open yet, but have the distinct knack of knowing when they're going to get open and have the ability to throw the ball in an area that they feel that they're going to give the receiver the best possibility to go up and fight for that ball or get that ball. And that is what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. And that's what I like about him. He's gutsy. And so I love Washington. And you get Washington at plus 230. Giants fans out there, you get Giants to win this division at plus 450. And I know there's a lot of people really high on the Giants. And like I said, I would not be shocked if the Giants win the NFC East. I won't be shocked. I think it's going to come down to Washington and the Giants. I am fading Dallas. I don't think Dak stays healthy. I don't necessarily, I'm not thrilled with this defense. But Mike Tannenbaum is. So I just want to share those odds with you. Another division that we teed up with Mike was the AFC North. And so let me pull that up. And the Ravens are favored at plus 115 to win that division. They add Sammy Watkins. They draft Bateman to help with the wide receiving core and to give Lamar Jackson some more weapons to throw to in the passing game. J.K. Dobbins is expected to be the lead rusher in that backfield. Solid offensive line. Love what they did. Still love what they have on their defense and even adding more guys to their defense. Arguably best secondary in the NFL. But you also got to love what the Cleveland Browns did, not only in free agency, but in the draft. They crushed it. And as Mike T said, if Baker Mayfield can stay healthy and OBJ gets back to, let's just say, 80 to 85%, of OBJ and what we know he can do and what he can accomplish here in New York, watch out for that Cleveland Brown team, and you can get them at plus 150. It's a toss-up for me, to be quite frank. That's how good I think Cleveland's going to be this year. I think Lamar is the better quarterback, but I think Cleveland checks all the boxes, especially their offensive line. So Ravens plus 115, Cleveland plus 150. Again, a big toss-up for me. I think it's really going to be interesting to see who does win that division. I think it's going to be a fun division to watch all season long. And last but not least, before we take a break, we're going to come back with John Mascari. We'll talk some golf and give you some golf winners as well. Let's talk about the AFC South. Now, because Carson Wentz is on the shelf, had a bone removed in his foot, reports are anywhere between five to 12 weeks. He's pretty optimistic, and the Colts sound optimistic that he'll be back sooner than expected. Tennessee's favored right now, minus 120 to win this division. Again, as I communicated with Mike T, I have been on the phone. I've spoken to quite a few scouts, and all of them say the same thing, that Eason is the quarterback now that's going to be starting for the Colts. Don't sleep on him. He's got a big arm. He can make all the throws. He's really smart. And this very well could be a big reason why we haven't seen. Understand something. The Colts, talk about checking all the boxes. The Colts check a lot of boxes. Offensive line, depth in the running back position, solid wide receiving core, defense, playing in a dome. And also, I know I've shared this before. I was looking at their schedule. Their schedule is so beneficial to them that in December and January, when they play outside the dome, they play in warm weather cities. So temperature-wise, I think the coldest game that they will experience will be somewhere in the 50s, if that. 50s or higher. Like they're not going to play in the frozen tundra at any point in the season this year. So the stars have aligned so properly for the Colts to really make some noise this season and compete in this division. So you would expect them to get on the phone and try to work out a deal and bring in a Marcus Mariota or bring in a Trubisky, who's the number three in Buffalo, or Nick Foles in Chicago, or I don't know, the 49ers gave up the world to go get Trey Lance, but yet they're starting Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, you can't. I still think they gave up the world to go get Mac Jones, and then something happened. Something went foul, and then they decided to go Trey Lance. You don't give all that up for a quarterback that can't start in the NFL. It's just ridiculous. But I think a number of people are sleeping on Eason, especially after the phone calls that I've had and the conversations I've had with a lot of the scouts. So in regards to the Colts, you could still get them to win the division at plus 180. So Eason possibly being better than what we expect, number one. And number two, maybe Wentz coming back, let's say in 5 to 6 weeks. I think there's value in putting money down on the Colts winning the AFC South. I really do. I think that could be a sneaky good play. A sneaky good play. Anyway, these are some of the futures bets out there in regard to who's going to win the division this season. 800-919-3776. If you've got a play you like, I want to hear about it. Also, we get back. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, is going to join me. Let's talk about some of the golf bets that are out there heading into the weekend round, Saturday and Sunday, for the WGC FedEx St. Jude tournament. Next. Right now, John Mascari, who's my co-host when it comes to On the Tee every Sunday morning here on 98.7 ESPN at 8 a.m., joins me now to talk a little golf gambling. John, good morning. Or I'm used to talking to you in the morning. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. Thank you. I appreciate the HBC intro. Very nice. Thank you.
I was a hop, skip, and a jump from you earlier today. I was out at Rivervale Country Club.
Oh, nice.
Teeing it up, playing some golf. It was nice. Beautiful day out there. I'm sure your members at Alpine Country Club had a blast. All right, let's dive into it right now in regard to what's going on with this tournament. Very interesting. The WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational is happening right now. Really quick, before we start talking about winners and who we think is going to win this tournament, what we think is going to happen this weekend, I think it's really important. The next three tournaments, golfers are trying to better their situation in regard to FedEx Cup points, because the best top 125 are then going to be invited to come to New Jersey and play at Liberty National for the Northern Trust. And so, you know, I guess I'm going to leave it there. And I want to hear how you're viewing the next few weeks and the next few tournaments. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting more value on guys, John, that need to get into the top 125. Agree or disagree?
No, I totally agree. Like, as in every WGC tournament, it's a small field and it's an exclusive field. And obviously this one is no different. 66 golfers in action this week with no cut line. Obviously John Rahm, the world number one, though, you know, recently tested for positive COVID, took him out of the Olympics last week. But 48 of the top 50 are playing. So it's a really amazing field, oozing with talent, totally an A. And you made a great point, Anita. This is where the rubber hits the road for the next few weeks, where guys are trying to get into the big FedEx Cup playoffs, get into that top 125. Obviously, it's very competitive. And you're going to see great golf, and that's, we're certainly seeing that so far in rounds one and two here in Memphis.
Absolutely. And then next week you have the Wyndham Championships taking place in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then, of course, the Northern Trust, August 19th through the 22nd. And just a reminder, we're going to be broadcasting live from out there on Saturday the 21st from noon to 3. John Mascari is going to pop out. Christina Thompson, again, both of them who are a huge part of our On the Tee show on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. All right. So with that being said, let's take a look at what the leaderboard looks like right now. And hold on one second. I'm trying to call it up. My computer is not agreeing with me. And Harris English is at the top of the leaderboard at 13 under. At 11 under, Abe Anser, who, by the way, shot a 62 today, and Cam Smith as well. Some other big names following: Sam Burns, Scotty Scheffler, who I know you and I both love, originally from the New Jersey area. Louis O, Bryson DeChambeau, very surprising, doesn't normally do well on this track, but he's 9 under, tied for 7th. Willie Zalatoris, you know how I feel about him. Daniel Berger, a guy who I picked to win this whole damn thing. On Wednesday, he's 7 under, so he's tied for 11th. Matthew Wolf, DJ, Finau, Paul Casey, Justin Thomas, Phil Mickelson is tied for 21st at 5 under. So with that being said, you know, where's your cut line? I know there's no cut line, but where is your cut line in regard to who you think is in position to still win it on Sunday?
Yeah, so that's a great point. You look at Harris English, who's quietly been playing some of the best golf on the planet for the last 2 years, goes out and shoots 62, 65, making a ton of birdies. That number that he's at is 13 is exceptional, but I feel like the real number is kind of 11. So I feel anyone like that's in that 6 or 7 under range right now and could go out on Saturday and maybe throw a 63 or a 62 up is in it. So it's a lot of people that are in that area of, hey, I'm not really out of it. Listen, we saw 2 62s yesterday, as you mentioned, Abraham Anser and Cam Smith. And there's certainly, it will definitely happen again. If someone shoots 62, they're moving up the leaderboard in a hurry. So going to be an interesting weekend. I definitely think scoring is out there. It's a golf course that sets up well to make a lot of birdies. So, you know, you can look up and down that leaderboard. I think anywhere in the 6 under or closer is still within it. But there's some good value picks, even as you look down a little bit more on the board for top 5s and top 10s as well.
All right. So, so Harris English, who, by the way, earlier this year in January, did win the Century Tournament going wire to wire, by the way. So he has done it before. He shot a 62 himself on Thursday, a 65 today. You can get him to win at plus 270. Anser is at 550. Scheffler, like I said, we both like him, is at 650. Just a kind of Berger, again, that's a guy that I had picking to win coming in. You could still get him in the top 5 at plus 220 to finish in the top 10 at minus 111. So right now, who are you eyeing? Where's your money flowing in regard to who you think's going to win this thing, John?
So, you know, English roughly going off at about 3-1. You mentioned that he's won twice on tour. I could certainly see him holding on. I don't know if I like that at 3-1, to be completely honest. And either I like Anser going off at about 6.5-1. But I never say this, but I'm kind of into Bryson at 9-1. You know, listen, he's gaining 3. He's doing like Bryson things, right? So he's getting 3.5 shots off the tee, 2 shots on approach. He's like the kind of the shark is just kind of lurking off the shore. And I think I like him. At 9-1, I mean, come on. But, you know, as we look down the board a little bit, you mentioned Daniel Berger. I like him. He's at 7 under. I think he's a top 10 finish. He leads in strokes gained approach. He needs to putt a little better. He putted well in round 1, but kind of cooled off a little bit in round 2. But I'm going down even a little deeper in that 7-1. Carlos Ortiz, 66-1 to win. He's won before. Now, listen, I think he needs to go low Saturday to really have a chance. But at 66-1, a couple of shekels, you know, at least maybe for a win, if not for a top 5 or a top 10. And then one more name that's I'm really digging down. You know, I'm really kind of pushing the sand away to get to Max Homa going off at 100-1. Really long shot. You know, I like him as a top 20, but he kind of got unlucky. His 68 yesterday was a lot better than what it was. He made birdie on 15, 16, and 17, and then hits it into the water on 18, makes double. So kind of, you know, finishes off with a sour note. But there's another guy who's won on tour this year, and such a great leaderboard. That's the fun thing about this event. It's such a tight and compact leaderboard that anyone could pull it out. So don't just focus so much on the top, especially where the odds are pretty bad. I would go down a little bit into that 7, 8, 9 range.
I'm looking to see if you've got Carlos Ortiz shooting a better round in tomorrow, the third round, over Daniel Berger at +155.
That's my like, guy versus your guy.
I know it's my guy. Your guy against my guy. I know it's your guy against my guy. But at +155, I kind of dig that. And you said you like Wolf. You've got Wolf over Sink at -120.
Not
you
bad.
Like that?
One thing we didn't mention either is, what about Ian Poulter? You want to talk about making a push, especially as we get closer to the Ryder Cup, right?
64 on Thursday, 66. Yes, on Friday today. Just
three off the lead, right?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the Ryder Cup. Let's talk about that. I'm looking at some of the odds out here. Hold on one second. Let me pull it back up. Here we go. Ryder Cup. United States -165, Europe +165, and a tie, like kissing your sister, 12-1. How are you? What are your thoughts on the Ryder Cup? I know it's not till the end of September, but nonetheless, how are you feeling about the Ryder Cup right now?
I typically lean towards the European team in this event. We've been doing the show together for 4 years, and I'm always kind of leaning towards the team Europe because of their camaraderie, but also their familiarity with match play and these types of formats. But I think this year, with all that's going on, with the fact that we're going to have fans at this event, it's on our soil. It's at an unbelievable property in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits. I am going with Team USA. I've got my bandana on right now. Got the pom-poms. Team USA is going to win the Ryder Cup in September.
And you can get them at -165 right now as John Mascari speaks. All right, John, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Carlos Ortiz, Matthew Wolf, you're going deep and you're
going
looking for
real
some
deep.
You're going really deep and you're looking for, hey, listen, this is it's great. It's great. I mean, you did your research. It's great. Thrilled to have you on. And you never know.
Thank
again,
you very much.
You never know. There's no cuts. They're going into the weekend, and they're not too far away where they could still pounce and win this thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, Anita, before I go, I do want to just give a quick shout out to my very best friend in the world, Todd Mackey, celebrating his 44th birthday. We've been friends like since the stroller. Our parents pushed us around in strollers. He's a horrible golfer, like one of the worst golfers on the planet, but one of the best people on the planet. So happy birthday, Todd, if you're listening.
That's very nice. That's very nice. John, thank you so much.
This is The Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.